Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Full of muscle.
Describing me.
I said, do you speak my language?
And the woman at the DMV said, yes.
Banger.
Look, I'm 47. I got hit on. I'm wearing it, man. I don't care.
Somebody in the text line said, nothing describes chick magnet like Bob Fesco.
That's right.
Still got it. Still pulls.
I never had it. Now I do. So yes. I'm going to, you know, I'm going to smile.
Strut it. That's
right. My daughter's the best, though. Mom, dad pulls.
That's so funny. I love that.
Not a dad pull. Pulls. Yeah, not a pull, but a pull. We do it every Wednesday here on Fesco and Dusty.
And the best part about that, though, real quick, I'm sorry to jump on you.
It's okay.
The best part about that is that I can say that, like my kids say that stuff, and Mac understands it. Like,
yeah, yeah, oh, yeah. I think it's hilarious.
Hashtag relatable. We do our poll question every Wednesday. This one, it's pretty simplistic. Who do you want to see starting at left tackle on Saturday? DJ Humphries or Joe Tooney? Right now, there are 32 votes. 53.1% say Joe Tooney. Because that is the number one topic going into this game on Saturday, is the left tackle, which is interesting. Because I think it's simplistic as it could be. Just let it be what it is. Keep it while it's hot. Don't fix what's not broken.
Yeah.
Let Joe Tooney play left tackle. I get it. He's a left guard. I understand that. Let him play left tackle.
Yeah. On paper, it may be the best case scenario for DJ, but the ramp up time's done. We're here. It's time.
Yeah. There's no more on paper or anything like that. What's working right now? And like, if something happens and you have to make that switch, then you make that switch. But I'm a big believer in if it ain't broke, don't fix it, right? There's no reason to go out there and try to reinvent the offensive line when it's been an issue all year. You finally got it fixed. F around and find out, right? Ask Casey Moe. You know, like, seriously.
Mm-hmm. You said he started at left tackle in that Chargers game, week 14? Is that right?
I believe so, right? Like, because the Raider game, he came in at left tackle.
Okay, so then the first time he started was week 14. They had 3 sacks in that game. After that, there was 1 sack the rest of the season for the left tackle.
For some reason, I thought it was the Cleveland game, but I know what you're talking about.
Yeah,
I thought it was the Cleveland game, but there was that moment in the Raiders game that happened. So maybe, I don't know.
Because I remember he started left tackle, and they're like, what are we going to do about Myles Garrett?
Because that was our whole,
yeah.
Look it up, Mac.
I will.
And see, you know, who's that left tackle position in that game. Because I know it was the Raiders game, because I was there, and Mahomes was pissed. I mean, and he looked at the sidelines, and that was that. And we haven't seen Wanya Morris since. Breaking news from the NFL. The Germany game has been announced.
In Berlin?
In Berlin, yep. And it's going to be the Colts. They're going to be the home team in this. Opponent will be announced later this offseason, but it's not going to be the Chiefs that are the home team in Berlin this year. It's going to be the Indianapolis Colts. So
they need to send that super fan that sings the songs to that game.
Absolutely. He was fan of the year for the
Colts.
He's
going to the Super Bowl.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of cool.
Hopefully we can talk to him.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba, I'm loving it. Well, hello, everybody. Happy Wednesday.
So the Raiders happened, the debacle, the meltdown that we've covered. Next game, Chargers. DJ Humphries finally gets his first start.
Oh, that's right. Then he got hurt.
And we're not going back to Wanya. And there's Joe Tooney.
Right. Yeah. That's right. Okay. That's right. I forgot about. And that's the other thing. Humphries hasn't played in a year. The minute he plays, he gets hurt and has to miss time. Like, as far as I was concerned, and I can just forget and move on very easily. I had forgotten and moved on from DJ Humphries, and then this week happened, and I'm like, oh, my God. Am I taking crazy pills?
No. So we talked about microdosing on the other side. I mean this from a Chiefs standpoint, from the offensive line and the offense. The first time that they put this sort of team together outside of Cleveland was against the Houston Texans in week 16, where they won 27-19. That was where essentially the first time we saw this sort of team that they were moving towards the playoffs kind of got there, right? Hollywood Brown was fully into the offense, didn't get a whole lot. DeAndre Hopkins kind of was like, your new role now is to be that veteran guy on third and five, third and seven, make the catch, get out of bounds, or get the first down and when we need it. This is where I think the Houston Texans kind of have a slight advantage over anybody else in the playoffs. They've seen it. They've gone against it. And this was like the first time, I think, again, that Houston game where it looked money and that three-game, 11-day stretch where they got to see a little bit of what the Chiefs were going to try to sprinkle into their offense and do that moving forward. And since we saw that the Chiefs' offense was better, the offensive line was better. Again, Mahomes, week 15, 16, and 17 was sacked one time. And it was in that Houston Texans game. But again, Houston has kind of seen the blueprint. But again, the Chiefs gave a microcosm of what that offense can be. The playoffs, obviously, those pages will get a little bit more in depth, and the offense will see a little bit more of what Andy Reid can draw up. But there is a slight, if you want to give a slight advantage and not be complete homers with the Chiefs, Houston has seen this sort of offense from the Chiefs.
But I'll play the counterpoint on that. By the time they see the Chiefs on Saturday, it's been almost a month since they've seen the Kansas City Chiefs, and a lot has happened, you know, with this offense since then. And I just don't think we're going to be seeing a lot of anything that we've seen during the regular season in the postseason. Obviously, what works here and what works there, you take that. But I think this is the time of the year where Andy gets that big book out and he opens it up, right, and the light shines down, and he's like the wizard and the sorcerer in there that now I've got my playoff book. And he opens it up and he starts going through what they're going to do, you know, in the postseason. And just when you think you got it figured out, you know, in life, you don't. And so if the Houston Texans are going and going, oh yeah, we saw these guys a month ago, we know exactly what they're going to do. That's recipe for getting your doors blown off, man. That's recipe for getting motorboated.
But they at least know what they're going to be facing, which is a huge advantage for the playoffs. Because again, we watched that Christmas Day game last year, and it was what broke the Chiefs in that season. Obviously, they went 11-6, but then after that game, it was like, all right, Pacheco, Kelsey, Rashee Rice. Now, it's, we still don't know what they're going to do at left tackle, because that is our poll question. Who do you want to see at left tackle, Humphreys or Tooney, at 965 The Fan, or The Fan 965? And not only that, but like Hollywood Brown is back. He's rested. He's champing at the bit to get back out there and kind of show what he can do.
It's champing.
That's right. That's the actual quote. But again, I think that if you're going to do it, you show them that like sort of, you know, okay, we know that number five is going to be over here. We know that, you know, number one's going to be over there. But now you can kind of advance even more because of, you know, obviously what you can do with this offense with Andy Reid, because I do think there is a different playbook that gets pulled out in the playoffs
Andy Reid. No doubt. It's completely different than what we saw, you know, in the regular season. They're completely healthy. I mean, the injury report had like Mecole Hardman on it yesterday.
Limited.
That's it.
Yep.
I mean,
welcome to it.
I'm trying to think, like, they weren't that healthy on opening day, you know?
Yeah.
They didn't have Hollywood Brown
Not
on
only that,
day.
And we could dive into it more tomorrow, but I mean, like, now you have Xavier Worthy, because, like, look what these rookies have done in the secondary for the Chiefs, right? They played more games than anybody else has in the last 3 years. That secondary with Trent McDuffie, with Cook, with all those guys, like, they know what this is like, and now it's Xavier Worthy's turn. Like, last year was Rashee Rice's turn. Huge, huge presence in the playoffs. Remember the Super Bowl, there was the meltdown on the sideline where Mahomes like, hey, chill the F out, dude. Like, just stop. Yeah, I know you're open. We'll get it to you.
We'll get it to you,
and
man.
Then immediately, first down catch.
Right.
It's just crazy.
Calm down, dude.
Right.
So other than Rashee Rice, but I don't want to say they've replaced Rashee Rice, because I still think he is going to be a dynamic player.
Well, they did in a way of two players in one.
Yeah.
They did the Juju DeAndre, which is
correct.
Like, you run those routes, and we'll keep each
You've
guy
got
healthy.
Guys, it's not like you lost, let's just say, Tyreek Hill, and you replaced him with Kadarius Toney. You know, like, yeah, Rashee Rice is a big player, but you've replaced him with veteran Hollywood Brown and veteran DeAndre Hopkins. And so I feel great, man. Like, again,
we say replace lightly, but they've filled his void with two guys that can play.
Maybe,
because obviously nobody in this team has the yak capability other than maybe Xavier Worthy when it comes, and maybe Hollywood Brown. But like, when you look at DeAndre Hopkins, you look at Juju Smith-Schuster, essentially the same receiver in their times of their career. Obviously, I think DeAndre Hopkins is a little bit better, but like, that's the Rashee Rice role. Like, hey, can you go underneath? Can you catch a ball for 5 yards and then get it for another seven? I think both those guys can do that. I think Juju more than DeAndre, but where DeAndre is like the Rashee Rice role. Hey, can you run that 7 yard out to the sideline, snag it, and get out of bounds?
Yeah.
Big body press.
Yeah.
That's what Mahomes likes.
Yeah, no. So it's going to be just fine, man. I'm just ready for them to go out there and unleash it on the world and have an offensive output like they did after they fell down 24-0 to Houston a few years ago in the playoffs. And then it was 51 unanswered points or whatever. And they just made a show and a scene and ran out of fireworks. So, like, let's get that kind of offensive performance going on Saturday.
Somebody says, playoffs, KC, different team. Texans are going to find out.
We'll find out.
I mean, the other thing that's a huge factor that I don't think we're talking about is the weather. I mean, dude, CJ Stroud, you're coming to Kansas City in the playoffs. It's going to be 20 degrees at the top of the temperature that
day. That's the high.
That game kicks off at 3:30. When that big old orange ball sets down, going to be about like, going to feel like 10 degrees and it's going to be windy.
Did you see the moon last night? Speaking of big
it's
orange
awesome.
Balls. Oh my God.
It's great. It's great.
A lot of times the balls you talk about are blue.
That's unfortunate. Mac, I want you to do me a favor. The Adam Schefter tweet that announced that the Indianapolis Colts will be hosting a team in Berlin. Can you name the three players that are pictured for the Indianapolis Colts?
Oh, I think
you get a free spin on the left side. I think that's Jonathan Taylor.
Jonathan Taylor, DeForest Buckner.
Is that who it is?
It's defensive lineman.
It's not DeForest Buckner because I don't think he wears the number 89.
Does DeForest Buckner still play?
Of course.
Gosh.
I don't know who he is.
Oh, their guard. Their left guard.
Quinton Nelson.
Is he one of them?
Yeah, he's 56.
Okay.
And then 89.
No clue.
Oh, okay. You know who that is? That's Marvin Harrison Sr.
Stop. Oh, boy. Don't forget, we're going to do another T-shirt drop with the same two guys, Carrington and Rob. We are going to do more playoff T-shirts thanks to our friends now at DM Law. You know Mike's got this. It'll be 11:30 in the morning on Friday with your guys from The Drive, CDOT and Rob, coming up on the other side. The NFL always changes, but it's not always for the best. We'll explain on the other side. I'm Fesco and Dusty. You're listening to 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Kansas City sports, 96.5 The Fan.
It is a Wednesday. Don't forget, you can go check out our poll question. It's already getting a lot of activity. It is a simplistic question at that. Pretty easy to think about it. Who do you want to see at left tackle on Saturday versus the Houston Texans? DJ Humphreys, Joe Tooney. We are 127 votes in and 17 minutes in, and it is a landslide. It is 61%, Joe Tooney.
That's a landslide. That's a big, big number right there.
Take that, Stevie Nicks. Once portrayed as a goat in South Park. We can talk this till our ears bleed, but I don't.
Hang on real quick with Stevie Nicks.
Yeah.
I was talking to somebody, I think I was talking to Ponch yesterday about the Stevie Nicks concert, how hot it was at that Billy Joel Stevie Nicks concert.
It was in August, wasn't it?
Oh, it was miserable, right? Yeah. Like, I'd rather be cold than that hot. Like,
so you'd rather be at the game Saturday than a hot concert?
Oh, God, yes. Yeah, yeah. I think so. Like, 13 years ago today, Tom Coughlin's face turned red on the sidelines. Mm-hmm. Have you ever been that cold before?
Oh, yeah.
You have? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Back, have you ever been that cold before?
You're going to be that cold on Saturday.
You're probably cold on Saturday, yeah.
Take the fireball that's in the spare fridge behind you, Mac.
Yeah, seriously, oh, yeah. You got to bring some stuff to the tailgate. Ralph's already texting, like, what's Mac bringing?
There's a fireball in that fridge. It's been there for 2 weeks. I told Mac, I go, that's long enough. You can take it. Nobody cares.
Yeah, you got to take
that. Gooey butter cakes to go, by the way.
Oh, it is a go.
We're a go.
Okay, Meemaw's bringing the gooey butter cake?
Yes.
Awesome. Okay. Momo. Is she coming to the game?
Momo's not coming?
No. All right.
No, Momo.
I know some single people, if she's interested. I mean, she works at the DMV. But maybe it was one of her friends. So Tom Coughlin 13 years ago today turned all at red face, right? So I was talking to Ponch about, you know, that concert, but however you talk in the hallways, right? Mm-hmm. And he goes, do you know, like, somebody got into a fight at the Stevie Nicks concert? I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. Like, of all concerts to get into a fist fight at, Stevie Nicks?
Maybe they didn't want to hear Lance.
I mean, how in the bag are you if you're getting to a fight at the Stevie Nicks concert?
A lot of people in the text line are saying Humphrey's on a short leash. One mistake, make the change. Why even try it?
What if
that one mistake is Mahomes' blindside
fumble recovery touchdown?
Playoffs, you can't make mistakes, man.
You can't fall down 24-0 and expect to win.
Somebody says, "What about Aziz?" I noticed yesterday he didn't practice.
Aziz Ansari didn't?
No, he didn't practice.
Okay,
I don't know if that was just because
he's out there punching people.
Yeah. I mean, Nico Collins didn't practice, but that's because
rest.
Somebody says on the text line from the 816, Billy Joel started the fire.
Yeah, he did.
I thought Ryan started the fire.
Ryan started the fire.
Put his cell phone in the toaster.
I caught myself yesterday or the day before watching an old episode that wasn't a Steve Carell episode. They were trying to hire the new branch manager, and they had like all these cameos of people.
Oh, yeah.
I never watched after Steve Carell was done. And so I was like Ray Romano and, the original guy, Eddie Izzard, who created The Office, the British version.
Will Arnett, I believe.
Yeah, Will Arnett was definitely in that thing. You know who else was in that? Warren Buffett was in that.
Oh, yes. I forgot about that.
I was like, oh my gosh.
I don't know if this makes me a bad TV show watcher, but I never watched the final season of The Office. Once I found out Steve Carell was gone, I was like,
That's what we just said. Yeah, I think you're not a bad TV watcher. You're normal.
Yeah, but I mean, you said you went back and started, you know.
I just happened to stumble upon it. Yeah.
I literally watched like 10 minutes of the first episode, and I was like, why is Andy Bernard trying to be Michael Scott?
Yeah.
It was cringe. And I just stopped. I was like, I don't want to ruin it. It's like, you know, your relative that gets dementia or Alzheimer's. She's like, I don't want to remember him as that. Right. I remember him as, you know, grandpa that loved and everything like that. Like, I don't want to watch the final season.
I was going to relate it to Caddyshack too, but you went a better route.
Death. But, morbid.
So, but Kathy Bates was in this episode too.
I also hated Robert California.
Really?
I love the scene at his house where they have like the pool and I was like, this is just, I was like, come on.
Which one is that?
They go to his like house for a house party and he has like a pool in his basement or something like that. And it's just like, it's like the longest episode of your life.
I don't remember. Was Michael Scott in that one?
I believe so.
I don't remember that one at all.
I don't know for sure, but I know that he has like a pool and like, he just, what is that guy's name? James something?
James Hader?
Spader, yes. Yeah, because he was in that movie, or that one show, The Blacklist. They say it's good. I've never watched it. I never watched 24 either. Which
I never did either. Like, people are like, oh, you got to watch this. I'm like, why do I have to?
Like, talk about anxiety.
Bink. My wife said to me something yesterday. She says, you have to do this. I don't have to do anything. I'm a 47-year-old man who just got hit on at the DMV.
Like, somebody says, 2 and a Half Men wasn't the same after Charlie Sheen.
Exactly. I never watched an episode of that with Ashton Kutcher. I heard him and Demi Moore were together at one point.
They were. And then he got smart and went back to Mila Kunis.
Yeah.
Mm. Nice.
Yes, Brioche.
Did you ever watch that 90s show?
No, but I watched that 70s show.
Watch that 90s show. Dumbass. That's a good, like, plain binge. Yeah, that guy.
Like, imagine if Breaking Bad did one final season and it didn't have Walter White. And it was just Pinkman.
Yeah.
You'd be like, absolutely not. Yeah, you'd be like, no way.
That's the thing with TV shows. Like, you got to know when to go.
Yeah.
And Breaking Bad did it, and then they came out with El Camino and all that. I was like, ugh.
I enjoyed El Camino because it tied everything up, but I also enjoyed it because I was hooked at that time, and El Camino was there, and it was the next. I like the fact that they tied up all the loose ends. I don't mind that.
Speaking of tying up loose ends, Barbershop, who had a birthday yesterday.
That's right.
Shout out Sean Barber.
40 years old. Way to go, Barbershop.
He likes listening to the show, unlike that one texter yesterday, but he gave a playoff scenario of like how you could fix it.
Mm-hmm.
And you liked it.
I do because it's different, right? Mm-hmm. And we talked about it yesterday, seeding like the AFC and the NFC, and somebody texted you about having the 2 seed in the AFC play the 7 seed in the NFC and the 2 seed in the NFC play the 7 seed in the AFC and vice versa. And so, you know, I was thinking about playoff expansion. I don't know that I'm necessarily ready to expand the playoffs to 16 teams yet because the games haven't been that worthy of them, but I know it's going there, right?
Well, Gold thinks they're going to play 20 weeks eventually in the NFL season. I'm talking to me because I dropped
18 games in 20 weeks. Yeah.
I told that line yesterday. I think the most impressive stat in the NFL is the Pittsburgh Steelers have 3 head coaches.
Yeah.
Which we go back to this. He was like, and I also said, I don't think the rushing record will ever be broken. He goes, well, eventually, because they're going to play 20 weeks in the NFL season, they'll play 18 games in a season, and it'll happen. I was like, we'll see.
But see, the thing is about football records, nobody cares. Baseball, oh my God, we can't change the amount of games. God forbid somebody hits an extra home run.
Mm.
Okay.
But the playoff seeding is weird.
Yeah. So I don't know that we need to expand, but I know we're going to expand. You know, like, I don't.
Money.
Exactly, right? And so since 2020, the expansion, the 7 seeds are 1-9 in the wild card, 1-10 overall in the playoffs.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
So what? Washington?
Washington.
That's the one?
No, they're not a 7 seed. The only 7 seed to win was Green Bay beating Dallas last year.
And Dallas went undefeated at home, right?
That's right.
Jordan Love got paid after that game.
That's right.
Mistake!
So that's the only 7 seed to win. So they're 1-10 overall in the playoffs, 1-9 in the first round. The average margin of victory for the 2 seed over the 7 seed is almost 13 points. That's almost two touchdowns a game, guys.
Mm-hmm.
I know
playoffs.
I know it equals more money, and I get it. That's the thing that like sports fans have to struggle with. Mm-hmm. It ain't about what we think is good mm-hmm. for the sport. It's what the owners believe is good for
the hell's this game on Peacock
right?
for?
That's exactly right. But the NFL does need to be careful about expanding to 18 games. It's more mm-hmm. wear and tear on the players. The overall product, I know a lot of people have been complaining about the playoff games. Oh, the overall product hasn't been that good in the NFL and all that kind of stuff. It's not going to get better if you add a game onto it. Guys are going to be more tired and whatnot.
Well,
and
Mac wants to go back to the way it used to be. The young guy in the room is saying, get off my lawn.
So you want to go back to a 16-game season?
No, the playoff-wise, where it's six teams, two byes.
Six teams, two byes.
Okay.
16 games would be fine, but
16 games would be fine in the NFL. It's easier that way.
It was
breaks
perfect.
It down into quarters, the whole nine thing.
What are you just saying? It was like 13 years ago today. They were playing the NFC Championship game,
divisional.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
But you're like, no, like I saw it like in the early 90s though. This was Championship Weekend.
Wow,
because the Super Bowl used to be played. My grandmother's birthday, rest in peace, Grandma. January 20th is her birthday, and that was like always when I was growing up around the Super Bowl time. And now it's going to be President's Day weekend.
Opening day used to always be April 7th. Now it's March 27th.
Go back and look. Go back and look at the mid 80s when opening day was.
Like April 15th.
Yes.
Yeah.
Damn. Yeah. There weren't 1,000 off days and all this kind of stuff. You played some doubleheaders.
March 27th is opening day.
Right. March 27th. Same amount of games, and they used to start the season in the middle of April.
2 months away, by the way. 2 months.
Yeah. Same
essentially.
Amount. But the same amount of games. They used to start in the middle of April. Same amount of games. They're starting 3 weeks earlier now than they have. I mean, it's crazy in baseball, but whatever. So I know we're going to expand to 18 games, but I would go back to the old playoff format. I'm kind of with Mac on this one. You want to make your regular season mm-hmm. even better than what it is, create less playoff teams. Make those playoff games or those regular season games matter so much more than what they do right now. You take away a playoff game, add an extra week, and then you have six teams in 18 weeks fighting to get into the playoffs. I think it gets to be a better regular season. Now, it hurts an organization like the Chiefs because you have to play those extra weeks to secure that bye. Right. And that's why if you go back to the original playoff format, yes. you can still give your top two teams. Like, if you're going to go into this and say, we're increasing to 18 games in the regular season, then you need to reward your teams and reduce the amount of playoff games that there are and give those top two teams in each conference a bye, I think, anyway.
It almost makes it more impressive what the Chiefs are doing in the run of a three-peat, that they're dealing with the not only being the best team with a target in their back, they're dealing with the adversity of the changing of the NFL rules. That never happened for the Patriots. Right? Like, there were rule changes.
Oh, there
for
was
Tom
that
Brady.
In that tuck rule.
The tuck rule.
Yep.
The Buffalo Bill rule. Silence of the Lambs.
I was gonna say, are we going the Buffalo Bills or are we going
Goodbye Horses, Cue Lazarus, banger of a song, even though it always reminds me of the scene where he's got the lady in the cell. But either way, you look at this, and it to me, like the whole playoff thing, the changing the schedule, all this, the changing the kickoff, the overtime rules, all of this has happened, yet the Chiefs remain the same.
That's right.
That to me is impressive as all hell.
Yeah, they had to deal with an extra game, less buys.
I mean, like, less biles, not less miles, but less biles, right? And like, here we are, yet again, in the time where the season has been its most competitive ever, 15-2. How you doing?
So, although Barbershop texted that in, and mm-hmm. I know I'm sure a lot of people think it's different and people don't like it. I did like it because it was basically what he did was take all the teams that are in the playoffs and just seed them 1 through 16 based on winning percentage.
Mm-hmm. Somebody says, remember, don't the players' union have to agree on the extra games anyway?
They'll tell them they're not going to test for weed anymore, and the players will be like, okay.
I would agree with that.
But that's all the NFL has to do, though, for these players. They're not going to give them any more money. The players are stupid.
They ham sandwich it. Hey, we're going to give you more games, but you can now show up to games wasted.
Well, the players will go, well, we need something in it for us, and the owners will go, okay, we won't test for weed. The players will be like, okay. And
if I was an owner, I would say, yeah, you can expand the weeks, but we want an expansion of rosters. Like, imagine Detroit Lions, right?
Yeah.
So imagine they had to play two extra games. Lost, 22 players this year, 11 on IR?
Yeah.
Okay, then we need to be able to expand our roster more.
Yeah. But the owners don't want to spend money. So that's why I say they always do this. The NFLPA is the worst at negotiating deals. They need to take a page out of the Baseball Players Association playbook. NFL players, again, short shelf life, they don't want a work stoppage. I get all that. But if the NFL players really asserted themselves, they could own this thing. Because I'm watching the players. I don't go watch, Jerry Jones own the team. I go watch the players play. The players need to understand that they are the product and they don't. And so the owners will say, yes, us, we're going to an 18th game. The players will go, we want something. They'll go, okay, we're not testing for weed and there's one less padded practice. And the player's like, cool, we won. You didn't get any extra money.
No. You should ask for a percentage of the profit from that 18th game. 100%.
Rile up, man.
So with this barbershop thing, I guess this idea, the 14 best records, you know, interconference, that would kind of get rid of divisions in a way.
Yeah, no, it wouldn't. He'd still keep the divisions, and he would give like tiebreakers based on whether or not you won the division or stuff like that.
I want to keep divisions.
So his Lions and Chiefs would be the 1 and 2 seeds this year based on record.
Good.
And they would have the byes. Okay, so that's 14 teams down to 12. Then he had the Rams versus the Vikings, the 13 versus the 4, Steelers at Bills, 12 versus 5, Bucks at Commanders, Bucks being the 11 seed, Commanders being the 6 seed.
So far we still have some similar matches.
Similar matchups. Texans at Ravens, Texans being the 10 seed at the 7 seed, and then the 9 seeded Packers at the 8 seeded Chargers.
And yeah, the Rams at the Vikings.
Be a lot of interceptions in that Packers-Chargers game. Do you think Travis Kelce?
And that's right, the Vikings would have had the home game.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that Travis Kelce will have more touchdowns in the playoffs than Herbert had interceptions in the playoffs?
Ooh, that's a good number.
So is that 4?
Boy. So essentially he has to get 5.
It could happen.
Yeah, what the hell? Let's take the over.
Speaking of what the hell, let's get into the last one of the year. It is Max Pack as we round up this season. We'll have one more library. We'll have no more bottom feeders because, well, now they're all top feeders. We get into Max Pack one last time. Here we go.
It's time for Max Pack.
Bittersweet, the last Max Pack of the season.
Is that the verb?
Bittersweet symphony.
Cruel Intentions. Sarah Michelle Gellar's little cross necklace that had a little snow globe in there.
He's lost.
Sometimes I just sit here, smile and wave, boys. Smile and wave.
Just look pretty.
You're good looking enough.
Yeah, exactly.
You blow us out of the water.
Hi.
Go to the DMV. You'll definitely get laid.
Dusty's like moving to Kansas now and going to the DMV.
Right, where's this DMV? Number 5. Switching it up. It's gonna be controversial. Taking the Rams at number 5. They got the quarterback. They got the coach. I undermined it in that first matchup against the Vikings. I should have gone with that experience. It is the second best quarterback coach combo in the playoffs left.
You know they played 8 playoff games together, McVay and Stafford. They're 7-1, and the only loss they had was to the Detroit Lions last year by 2 points.
Wow.
Let that sink in.
We talk about Mahomes and Reed being 15-3. Nobody gives McVay and Stafford any credit. I've been giving them a lot of credit. I know people want to poo-poo Goff and Stafford and that trade and these guys, blah, blah, blah. They win, man. They win.
They win. And there was a stat on Stafford specifically, like you said, in January back to December, too. I mean, just like Mahomes, when the games really start to matter and everything goes up a notch, Stafford does, too. So I've got the Rams at 5, Lions at 4. Still best team in the NFC to me. I think the defense is getting better. I didn't know David Montgomery was going to come back that fast. Seems like he'll be playing this weekend, so that's a huge addition. So I'm going to have them at 4.
If the Lions and Rams played, who wins?
Well, the Lions are more powerful than a Ram. Ram just uses their horn. Lions can bite and scratch, so I would go with Lions.
I think I might go with the Rams, man. I think I might. It's really close.
I mean, Sean McVay schooled his student on Monday night. Schooled the F out of KOC.
Vikings,
you know me.
The Vikings are more talented. Doesn't really seem to matter. Or the Lions would be more talented, too. Doesn't really seem to matter when you've got McVay and Stafford. Number 3, I'm going to go with the Ravens. That defense is getting better. They have not done it in the last 6 weeks against a comparable opponent. It's not their fault. They've gotten to play who they could play. I mean, it's the Steelers. It's the Browns. It's a bunch of bad offenses, but they are performing really well. Really close to being number 2, but I'm still going to have Buffalo as the number 2 team. I think it's the second best quarterback in football. He's been on a heater. That talent is at a deficit compared to Baltimore, but I'm going to take Josh Allen, what I've seen from him this season. Number 1 is the Chiefs, and it's not close.
Yeah, it's not. It really
isn't.
It's not. The best quarterback coach combination, the best at everything that they do. There's nobody better in this league right now than what the Chiefs are doing. You said J.P. Lossman is the second best quarterback in the NFL? Wow.
Easily.
So your top 5 again,
Chiefs, Bills,
Ravens.
Yep. Lions.
Rams.
No Eagles in my top 5.
Because Jalen Hurts looked like poo?
Yeah, because Jalen Hurts looks bad. He's not thrown for over 150 yards in a playoff
win. Doesn't need to.
Exactly.
Why would you when you got Saquon Barkley right now?
That offensive line, man.
I mean, I hate to say this, but I'd run him into the ground. Sorry, Saquon.
At some point, they're going to have to make some explosive plays through the air, and I don't think he's capable of doing that. Two high-powered offenses in the NFC, Lions and Rams. They're going to put up points.
Is it a dumb question from ML Football to say who won the trade between the Lions and the Rams?
I mean, why do we have to have a winner and a loser? Can't we say both teams just did good?
Like,
it's a great trade. Often do we see great trades.
Never.
Right?
Win-win. Yeah.
I think it's one of the best trades since Clinton Portis for Champ Bailey.
Oh, that's a good one, too.
I was so happy to see Clinton Portis get out of Denver, and then all of a sudden, because I remember the game, he just torched the Chiefs and wore the championship belt, the first one to ever do it. And I was like, well, who'd they get? Champ Bailey? I'm like, son of a
Champ, I mean, that was
like the best horror football.
Yeah, that was a hell of a trade. Now, you wouldn't make that trade today. You're not trading a running back for a cornerback like that. I mean, Washington's a dumb team.
The way you would do that trade would be like, would you trade Jahmyr Gibbs for Pat Surtain Jr.?
No. Hell no. Now I can find a running back.
Would you trade Saquon Barkley for Trent McDuffie?
No.
Absolutely not.
There's nobody saying yes to that. Well, I'm sure somebody would. But, I mean, and that's why they're no longer GMs, right? It's stupid trades. My bottom feeders this week.
Last one.
It is. And my bottom feeders. No. It's pretty simple. I'm just going to run through the list. Dallas, Jets, Raiders, Saints, and Jacksonville.
Okay.
What do they all have in common?
Ownership
they're all looking
sucks.
Well, that too. They're all looking for a head coach.
And a quarterback.
Yeah. Are any of those jobs appealing to you?
I'm always going to think that somebody can change Trevor Lawrence. And I'm going to die on that hill. I'm going to be murdered by the text line. But I just think somebody that's like Kevin O'Connell or, you know, Joe Brady, somebody like that can change Trevor Lawrence. And that's, to me, when you list those teams again, Dallas,
Jets, Raiders, Saints, mm-hmm. Jacksonville.
I think, it's either the Saints because of that division or it's Jacksonville division, and they actually have somebody that I think, look, Trevor Lawrence is that car in the driveway that just needs proper mechanic and proper parts, and then it can run. But until that happens, like, the worst person's still not putting the right synthetic oil in it. They're getting the wrong sort of tires. They're doing the wrong thing. I know I'm going to die on this hill alone, but I just think somebody with the right mindset can. If Kevin O'Connell can change Sam Darnold for 14 games, somebody can train Trevor Lawrence.
And Kirk Cousins before him, right?
I mean, it's crazy.
And
man.
So I will say this. I believe the Dallas Cowboy job is the worst job in professional sports.
Yeah, we hit that yesterday pretty hard.
I mean, I'm just going to say the Jets job right now is more appealing than the Cowboys job, because the one thing that the Cowboys have that you have to overcome is an involved owner who's not good at what he does.
Are they up there with the Oakland Athletics, or I guess the Vegas Athletics, or the high school athletics, where they are now?
I don't know that that's necessarily a horrible job, but because the Dallas one is so prominent. Everybody thinks, Dallas, what a great job. No, it's not. There is no way that you can function as the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys as long as Jerry Jones is involved in the day-to-day operations. He is handcuffing, hamstringing everybody. And that's not Bob Fesco's opinion. That's the record. That speaks for itself. They have been irrelevant for 30 years, but yet relevant all the time. And that's all Jerry Jones cares about. Getting in front of the cameras, being on TV, being in the news. He don't care about winning. I think the Dallas Cowboy job is the worst job in professional sports.
Yeah, I'd have to think about that, because I just think there's a couple of NBA teams that would be like, absolutely not.
Like, that's fair.
No way. Like, I don't know if I'd want the Raptors job.
Yeah, you're in Toronto, great city. Owner's probably not handcuffing you.
Fair.
I mean, everything that they've done has been just so bad.
Cleveland would be a tough job for the Browns.
Yeah, it would be.
That's tough. I mean, that's 1A, 1B in my opinion.
You know,
Woody Johnson, I think that would suck. Your grandkids are telling the coach what to do?
No, he's Woody Johnson's kids are so
kids. I thought it was his grandkids.
You would think.
Yeah.
His kids.
Based on Madden ratings.
Based on age.
We don't want Jerry Jeudy. That guy sucks. And then he goes to Denver, he goes to Cleveland, and then hello.
Yeah, no, the Jets and Dallas 1A, 1B. But Dallas, I mean, everything you do is scrutinized. You're overcoming an owner trying to be a general manager. Like, both are bad. Really, they are. But Dallas is the worst. Their uniforms suck, too.
Yeah, start, bench, cut. Raiders, Dallas, Browns.
I'm starting the Raiders.
The only thing the Raiders will ever start in. Yep, that's it.
Yeah, I would start the Raiders in that because of Tom Brady. And I think they're actually going to try. I think Dallas, I mean, honestly, Jerry Jones, all he cares about is being seen on TV.
Like, I think Mark Davis at least wants to win.
Then he's got to get a new haircut.
Over under years left of life or playoff wins for Jerry Jones?
Which number's higher?
Yeah.
I'm going to say years left on life because I don't see them winning a playoff game ever.
Yeah. Set that number at 2.5 as we get morbid here on Fesco and Dusty. Don't forget, Division Round coverage is brought to you by Bud Light, the official beer partner of your Kansas City Chiefs. You can have some Bud Lights and go Foaling. Bob will tell you about that. Plus, we'll bring back up Trevor Lawrence and Mike Tomlin, and I'll figure out how to put those two together. Enjoy the pink sky this morning. You're listening to 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
Welcome back and happy Wednesday to all of you out there in the Kansas City area, or if you're watching at home, or if you're listening on the app in a different state, thank you for listening.
Having a cocktail watching us this morning, even better.
No, that's the 10 to 2, guys. Oh. But we did have a poll question because it is Wednesday, to bring it back up. Who do you want to see starting at left tackle on Saturday? DJ Humphreys, Joe Tooney. 137 votes are in. 62% of those votes say Joe Tooney.
What percent now did you say we're up to?
62% of the people that have voted of the 236 votes now, 62.7% of people are saying Joe Tooney.
It's going up. Okay, let me ask you this.
Because Max said that it's been like a Chiefs fandom that's been starting the smoke of who they should start at left tackle.
Well, I talked to somebody in the organization yesterday. They said it's a daily discussion right now. But I feel like I told you guys yesterday, I'm over this. Like, why are we talking about this? You know, like, there should be no question involved. And if you are one of the 38% or whatever that voted for DJ Humphreys, I'd like to know why. I really
such
would.
Such a smooth ride.
I'd love to know why you voted for DJ Humphreys in this scenario. Because maybe I'm missing something. I don't know. It's possible, right? We're missing like something or not familiar with something. So if you voted for DJ Humphreys, why?
She's such a smooth ride.
Okay.
Maybe that's why. You know?
She's such a smooth ride.
I need that to be my text tone. I don't know, man. I look, because we were talking to Ron Hughley yesterday of 6-10 in Houston. And he was like, you know, I don't understand why anybody else would be a left tackle. And I was like, I don't either. And then like Max, like, yeah, it's been some sort of like conversational point on, you know, Chiefs Twitter.
We need
or whatever.
A game. Just get me to a game. Right. Start talking about favorite sandwiches from the 50s. Like seriously, this is the time where idle time causes bad hands or something like that.
Idle hands? Devin Sawa?
Idle time causes bad brain. I don't
Jessica
know.
Alba?
Something like that. But like
Jessica Alba or Jessica Biel? Chuck and Larry, Jessica Biel. Wow. Jessica Biel and Summer Catch. Wow.
You're not wrong either way. That's not DJ Humphreys versus, you know, Joe Tooney. That's like, all right, either way works. But, I don't know. I don't get it. I don't understand why this is a topic of conversation right now. It's because people have too much free time and we need a game. It's game time.
So from the 9-3-6 DJ on the outside, bring Tony back inside, which can help the run game, maybe. But again, do the Chiefs run?
Like, what do you mean help the run game?
The guy
game?
That used to sit in this chair gave up on that take. He was like, just run the ball. They're not. And then he finally was like, I remember Kling was like, all right, I'm done. They're not going to run the ball.
Right.
And I got to that point this year. I'm like, hey, you got Kareem Hunt and Isaiah Pacheco. Why not? And then it's just like, all right. Because, like, I mean, look, in that, what was it, the Cleveland game? You were up big. And they dropped back and passed, six or eight times?
Seven or eight times.
And still didn't run the ball.
Right.
So what makes you think if they even put DJ Humphreys there, they're going to run the ball?
That's like, what games have you watched where Andy's even, like, slightly committed to the run? People say, and I understand that reasoning, like, in a football world, that does make sense, but we don't live in that. We live here where commitment to the run is first play of the game, they run, they get a yard, and then they bail. This isn't working. It's 2nd and 9 with 14:37 to go in the first quarter. What do you mean it's not working? That's just as okay, fine.
Well, we live in a world where we have Patrick Mahomes. I mean, I'm sorry, like the running game, it'll come, get 3 or 4 yards a pop. That's awesome. Keep the chains moving. But at the end of the day, this team's going to win games and going to hoist another Lombardi on the back of number 15.
Right.
That's the straw that stirs the drink.
Or maybe what you do is if you do.
And if you've ever had a broken straw, it's terrible.
It's terrible.
It sucks.
Yes.
You ever done that, like getting your fast food, like, you know, did the straw in the where was that little thing, the middle compartment, and then it like snaps.
Oh, it snaps. And so you got to like hold
you're already
the
too
hole.
Far. You're already too far. You can't go back.
You're,
back.
Screwed. No. It's terrible.
You got to like pinch the straw.
Right. It's awful.
You know what keeps your straw safe?
a good offensive line.
That's right.
That's right.
I've always, always, always carefully opened my straws because I know how valuable they are. Because if you ruin it, well, you don't have your drink.
Why do I feel like you're still the guy at this age in your life that you blow the wrapper at your kids?
No, I've never done that.
I can see him doing it.
Nah. Welcome to the Thunderdome.
Think of Binkley? Like, that's a Binkley move, right?
No, I don't think he uses straws. He's just straight to the gun. Idle mind is the devil's playground.
That's it.
The quote you're looking for. Yeah. God bless the text line.
Yeah, but that's what it is. Like, there's been too much idle time. Like, all right, what can we do? I don't know. Just put the game plan together and let's go. Let's not overthink this thing.
So what if they did this? What if they just started with Joe Tooney at left tackle and they go up like, let's say they go up like 28 to 10, then put in Humphreys and run the ball?
Fine.
Like,
if you go up 28 to 10, you should be running the football at that point. Yeah.
Right. I don't know, man. It's tough.
I don't know if we see it, but.
Yeah. So again, you can go to the text line, not the text line. You can go to the Twitter page. Who do you want to see at left tackle, Joe Tooney or DJ Humphreys? That is the poll question today from Fesco and Dusty and Mac. Again, we'll give you the percentage and the votes. According to our page, there are 237 votes, 62.4% say Joe Tooney.
See, I thought it would be higher, honestly. I really
Me
did.
Too.
I mean,
it's almost 70%.
I know, that's a land. It's 62, 63%. It's still a landslide, but I thought it would be a lot higher than that. I thought people were like, you guys are idiots. Of course, Joe. Like, that, because that's the way I think. Of course, Joe. Like, I don't even really know who DJ Humphreys is anymore. Like, guy was here, played, got hurt. We moved on. We've done fine. Let's just keep going.
Yeah.
And the text line pointed it out earlier, and I'll continue to go back to this. This is the Gerbach-Gannon conversation.
Mm-hmm.
What are we doing here?
I don't know. Imagine what they went through and now what they're going through. We'll bring that up on the other side here at 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City Sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.